You are listening to The Nature of Things on WRVO. This essay first aired on September 14th, 2001.
Recently, I shared with you the secret of nature's extended hold on my affection. Nature has beauty of form, musical voice, and an infinite capacity to teach, which I have called its mystery. For me, nothing in nature is commonplace. I look forward every year to nature's marvelous symphony, especially its rich and complex spring movement. It starts in the still snow-dappled fields and the recently opened wetlands, and proceeds in every direction to the woodland, the hedgerow, the garden, and the dooryard. It is nature's voluble commentary on that northward, shoreward, or pondward flow of energy, which we call migration. By choosing the route of my sunrise walk, I can create my own version of that vernal symphony. Here's an example I've shared before. One morning as I left my folks' house, I was treated to a robin mourning dove duet. Crossing the field where song sparrow, meadowlark, and pheasant held forth, I approached the farm pond to a chorus of peepers and other amphibians with a red-winged blackbird soloist. The movement changed as I entered the pear orchard, and as I returned to the house an hour or so later, there was a reprise of every chorus, solo, duet, and quartet that greeted my initial foray. I realized that although this symphony was at my arrangement, the composition would have been as satisfying if I had stood in one place and let the musicians come to me. An hour in the dooryard or the hedgerow might have produced a dozen solos, and who knows how many choral movements. All of this rhapsodizing about nature's music may seem exceedingly artificial and frivolous to some of you. It's here that I am rescued by the mystery of nature. Symphony or not, the bird and amphibian choruses are more than just noise. I call it a symphony. Perhaps you'd prefer to call it an essay or a report. Whatever it is, it has meaning. Every good naturalist recognizes that. Many of us are afflicted with an increasing loss of high-frequency sound. It isn't much fun for me to watch a chipping sparrow singing at the top of our smoke tree, or a wood peewee at the summit of a maple, and not hear anything except the wind. Fortunately, I can still hear them on tape, or with proper augmentation out of doors, but my world of sound is slowly diminishing. Don't grieve for me, it's all part of life. If you want to grieve, put attention to those wild musicians who no longer make their homes in our pastures and copses. When I was hired to teach at Oswego in 1957, our Nedro house was sold before our accommodations in Oswego were available. We spent several months in a state-owned house at the edge of Cicero Swamp. There, every night, a whippoorwill perched on the summit of an outbuilding and serenaded us. In all directions, we could hear others calling. It's a monotonous chant, but now that it's seldom heard, I miss it. At the edge of our property on South Main Street in Albion was a fine old cherry tree that blossomed every year while the warblers were migrating. There, redstart, myrtle, magnolia, and blackburnian warblers offered their annual concert. Today, such conferences have become conclaves, and even the neighborly yellow warbler seems more selective about home sites. Back then, the neighborhood gang spent a part of each summer camping in our woods. Each day, the invocation and the benediction were provided by wood thrush and veery. It was part of Baltimore Woods' charm years later that I could relive those moments on my sunrise and sunset walks. The wood thrush and veery may still be heard at Baltimore Woods, but there's reason for guarded concern as more open woodlands in many parts of the state make them vulnerable to cowbird nest parasitism. Let's hope the increasing abandonment of agricultural acreage will prove a boon to them. I am inordinately fond of wetlands, especially marshes. There's no natural chorus richer than that of the wetland. During our years at Oswego, I spent hours in the audience of a wetland symphony that included moorhen, redwing, bittern, marsh wren, and black tern. Its music was that of a grand carousel. Its actions were as lively as its music, and I spent hours trying to prize out its mysteries. I urge you to seek out the dawn and dusk choruses while they are still extant. Many of the ones that produce joy for me, you may never be able to hear. Well, that's all I have for today. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.